Beis Chanukah, Kof Vov Kislev, Friday the 3rd of December, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Chanukah, the light from within.
There are three words that Chazal use when talking about the Nes of Chanukah that may hold the key to what this Yom Tov is about. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Mai Chanukah, what's Chanukah about? And the Gemara says, Kshenichnusu Yevonim in the Heichol, when the Greeks came into the Heichol of the Beis HaMikdash, Timu kolashmanim shebeheichol. They were metame, they made impure, kolashmanim, all the oils shebeheichol that were there in the heichol. These basic three words, Timu kolashmanim shebeheichol, l'chiru can help us understand Chanukah. Firstly, where were the Yevonim when this story happened? What does the Gemara say? Shenichnusu Yevonim leheichol. When the Yevonim came into the Heichol, we know the Beis HaMikdash has the Kodesh Kadoshim, which is closed off, only the Kohen Gadol goes there in Yom Kippur. That's holy mamash, special Kodesh Kadoshim, Aron, nobody goes in there. Then you have the outside where the Mizbeach is and they bring the Korbanos, and just in front of the Kodesh Kadoshim in the center is the Heichol, where the Menorah is, the Mizbeach Azov, the Shulchan, that's in the Heichol. So where were the Yevonim when this happened? Kishenichmasu Yevonim leHeichol. The Yevonim have entered the Heichol. What would we have not understood had it said Timu Kolashmanim? Why do you have to say Timu Kolashmanim Sheba Heichel? Says the Maral. This teaches us that what Yovan is out to do is to attack Heichel specifically. Interesting, the Gematria of Heichel, he says it's 65, Yovan has a Gematria of 66. The famous Maral, Yovan tries to be one better than Heichel. So that's the first thing. They're out to attack the Heichel. What about the Heichol bothers them? Did they kick over the Shulchan? Did they smash up the Mizbeach? No mention. If it happened, it was peripheral. What they came to do was to attack the Shmonim Sheva Heichol, the oil that's lying in the Heichol. The oil, of course, is for the Menorah. They're out to stop the Avodah of the Menorah by being Metama, the Shemen Sheva Heichol. What did they do? They were Metama, that Shemen. That's how they're going to attack the Menorah. What's going on here? Why is that the essence of Yovan? Now, it wasn't by chance. It's not Sha'anlev that's how they tell the kids, you know. The Yovanim came in, they're a bunch of vandals, they kicked the place in, they turned everything upside down, and obviously what broke first? All the glass. So all the glass bottles with the olive oil got ruined, and the Mela, there was nothing left when they came back to light. This Gemara and other places in Chazal tell us that wasn't the case at all. When Yovan came to the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing they said is, let's go for the Menorah. Now let's see how we can affect and stop the avodah of the Menorah. They came in, the essence of the story, Timu kolashmanim shebeheichol. The question is, of course, if the Yevonim are anti-heichol and anti-Menorah, then why didn't they destroy the Menorah? Why did they not smash all the oil? It's mashma, they left all the oil there, they didn't break the glasses, didn't break the flasks with observed and well glass, they left it standing, but they were metamit. They didn't break the Menorah. It's not that hard. You know, one Yevani soldier could have broken the Menorah. They didn't break the Menorah. And they're against Beis HaMikdash, it seems. They're against Eichol, but they don't burn it down. Unlike other nations who came and attacked the Beis HaMikdash and burnt it, they don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And what sort of hisnagdus do Yovan have to Beis HaMikdash? That's one aura. If they're against it, destroy it. Don't just be Matama the Shmonim. But something more than that. Why do they care about the Menorah? So we know from other Mepharshim, the Menorah represents Torah, and Yovan were the first nation to feel challenged by Torah in a way that never existed before, because Yovan were wise people, they were philosophers, they had an outlook on life that was built on Chochmah. Klal Yisrael have a different Chochmah, the Chochmah of Torah, that's greater, that's deeper, and that challenges theirs, and therefore they felt it's an act of the Torah. So Yovan is anti-Torah. Well, then why go for the Menorah? Why not the Aron? In the Kodesh Kadoshim, you've got an Aron. If you're anti-Menorah, go to the source. Attack the Aron in the Kodesh Kadoshim. If you're anti-Eichel, go attack the Kodesh Kadoshim. That's even a holier place. It seems Yovan has no problem with the Kodesh Kadoshim and an Aron inside it. What they care about is one thing. Eichel. They don't want the Eichel with its Menorah. That's worth to try and understand. So let's have a look at these three concepts, the Timu, Shmanim, Heichol. We know that in davening, the main name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we use is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the Ikka, the Sherish of all, or the Shemus, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yet when we come to pronounce it, right from day one, when we're young children, we're taught, you don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, you say something else. You say Agnus, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. What's pshat in that? It's an interesting thing. You've got a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get to it in your siddur, and you basically skip it out and say something else. Instead of saying Yud Kei Vav Kei, you say Agnus. So the Brisker of, what this tells us is that the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is pronounced Agnus. It's not two different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Yud Kei Vav Kei and there's Agnus. The way to read Yud Kei Vav Kei is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. What that means is, L'chayre, that Yud Kei Vav Kei represents a gilui of the Ribbono Shel Olam as he is Kivyochel Bashamayim. Kivyochel, the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is. We can never talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the way he is, because we have no contact with him himself. But the way he reveals himself, Bechalal, as having contact with Olam Hazeh, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The essence of the word Yud Kei Vav Kei is Hoiveh. He exists. He's the source of existence. Everything exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's the root of existence. That's the Shemesh. But Poyel, in real life, we don't live with the concept of Yud Kei Vav Kei, understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam is the essence of all existence. He is. That means there's nothing here. Everything's just an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. That may be too deep for us to live with. But we can live with the fact that he's our master. And therefore when we see Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say, so what if he's the Mahav HaKoel? Agnus. He's the one who's my master. And generally in davening, except for the first pasuk of Krishna maybe, various places where there's a specific Nekudas Kavanah, but Be'etzim you can be Mechavan, my master. When you say Agnus Baruch Ato Hashem, make a bracha, or meaning is Baruch Ato, you, Adoy, my master, that's all, that's enough. But the Nekuda is, you have the root, the real essence, and that reveals itself L'maisa on a lower level, the way we can understand it. The same concept exists in Torah. The Torah is split into two parts. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav is the Dvarim, is the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way they are, Kivyochel, the way they're spoken out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, Chumash itself, the words of Hashem. But the words of Hashem don't talk to us directly in a practical way. You open up a Chumash and you don't know any halacha l'maaseh. You're not going to be able to work out how to put on a pair of tefillin. You're not going to know what's mutter on Shabbos. You can't work anything out from the Chumash. It's the root of everything. All of Torah Shebalpeh has its source in Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is the shorish, is the root, is the essence. Then you have to bring it into the world of people, and that's Torah Shebalpeh, where it starts to make sense to us, where we understand it, where it relates to our lives, and tells us how to live our lives. The Shem Havaya, and its expression is Agnus. The shame of the Torah Shebichsav, its expression is Torah Shebalpeh. And the same concept exists in Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash has at its heart the Sheirish Hashroshim is the Kodesh Kodoshim. The Kodesh Kodoshim doesn't talk to us. What have I did you do in the Kodesh Kodoshim? What can we do in the Kodesh Kodoshim? One thing, keep out. Except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, which is a day when a person gets beyond his physical body. Shem, then the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim can go in. But Be'etzim, Kodesh Kadoshim is something that is beyond us. Be'etzim, it's Kenyaged Hashem Havaya. It's Shem to that revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu is completely above the experience of a human being. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Taka Torah Shebichsav. And that's why what's in the Kodesh Kadoshim? The Oren. In the Oren is the Luchas. The Luchas is the most concentrated form of Torah. It's Kivyochel the Ribbono Shel Olam's own ksav. That's there in the Kodesh Kodesh. You want to bring it in my son. So you have to take the kedusha of the Kodesh Kodesh and bring it into the Heichel. Rav Shem Rav Hirsch, he says that the Kodesh Kodesh is called Devir. When we say Devir Beisecho, it refers to the Kodesh Kodesh. He says the root of the word Devir is Devar. The word itself, that's there hidden away in the Kodesh Kodesh. But the Heichel, the Yochel, the reality, the bringing it into life, that Heichel, that's when we start taking the essence of Torah, that Torah Shebichsav, those Luchos, and we use them to light a menorah. Now it starts to light up the life of Klal Yisrael. That's why we have two kelim keneged the Torah, the Torah Shvitzav, the essence is the Aron and the Kodesh Kodashim, and the Heichel is the Olam HaMaisa, is taking that Torah and making it light up our lives. That's Manuv. So that's a little bit of an understanding of what Heichel is. Heichel is the Gilui of Shem Admus. Obviously Admus is Gematria 65, like Heichel's Gematria 65. The two are the same essence, the same vault. Shemen, in many places in Chazal, Shemen represents Chochmah, represents understanding. Now, this is an interesting point. This is one of the places where we see this idea very clearly, that although Kivyochel Torah is sublime, it's shaykh to Elam, it's Elyonim, shaykh to the Rebbeinu, it's completely beyond a human being, L'chaira, Afal Pikein, the Torah is brought down into Olam Hazeh. We can study it, we can understand it, and Kivyochel the Torah is revealed based on how much, or how well, or how deeply human beings can understand it. Torah Shebichsav, the greatest chiddush of Torah Shebichsav is that it can be translated through Torah Shebalpeh into the minds of human beings, into the Shemen, the Chochmah of Torah, can be lit up with the Ur of Menorah. When you take that Shemen and put it in the Menorah, what we're saying is the human mind can be used to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's the Chiddush of Shemen Sheba Menorah. Stage two. So we're not Heichel is, we're not Shemen is. Let's just have a quick look at the word Tumah. What is Tumah? Wherever you find Tumah, it's something that's cut off from its source. It's not connected to Chaim. It's covered over, it's blocked up. Otum, Tumtum, Timtum, Al Tikrav and Itmesem, Elav and Itantem, something that's blocked up, something that isn't clear. Tohor means pure, and pure means many, but pure means something that's transparent. It's through, you can get through, you can get from here to somewhere else. It's not blocked. Tuma is something that's blocked. Timu, Shmanim, Shebeheichel. What the Yevonim are trying to do is to block the oil, the chochmah of a human being connected to Heichel. Let's have a look at Yevon and see how that fits into their philosophy. Before we can look at Yevon, let's think about what's the essence of the chidushim of Torah, what we believe in as Klal Yisrael, and then we'll see how Yevon is misnagged to that. Perhaps the biggest chidush of Torah is that nothing in Olam Hazeh exists disconnected from Olam Habo, disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you ask what's the Chiddush, what do we represent that is so different to the rest of the world? We believe that every Maisa that a person does in this world has an effect not just here, but beyond this Olam. Olam Habo, Olam Misalyonim, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing we do that doesn't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One Chiddush. Right, that what we do connects back to him. There's another chiddush. We believe that nothing happens in Olam Hazeh unless it's connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he makes it happen. There's a double connection happening here. Everything that we see in this world, everything that happens to us, we know, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One chiddush. He communicates to people, he gave us Nevuah, he still gives us the Hashpah of Torah. When we learn Torah, we say, HaMalamei Torah la'amma Yisrael. Today HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming and teaching us Torah. Kivyochel, the Rebbeinu Shlom is a Chavrusa, with every Yid, every Chavrusa, the Rebbeinu Shlom is a third partner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshev, Hashayne Kenegdo, if a person sits and learns, Kivyochel, the Rebbeinu Shlom comes and reveals Torah to him. We're not unconnected. There's a constant Hashpah, Melamai, Lalamato, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to this world. He runs the world, directs the world, communicates to the world, melamai lonamata. And backwards, the same way, the opposite. When we're learning Torah, we're being ma'ura kivyochel, the kedusha melamayla, the shefa melamayla. The more we do mitzvahs, the more there's a shefa. Tanu uiz lalekim, kivyochel, we give strength to the gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say Baruch Ato, Reb Chaim Elozhin Taichus, Baruch means bracha. Bracha means to bench. To bench means to make something increase. And just like when we put our hands on our children's heads and we give them a bracha, we're saying that they should have more teva, there should be more, they should have more kiyum in Olam Hazeh kivyachol. Huadin, when we mevarich the Rebbein Shalom, we're davening that there should be more ribui, there should be more shefa. We're out to increase, we're misyachis to the kriach. The person has to be masig the Rebbein Shalom. The more we're masig, the more shefa there is. There's Ashpa Lamaila Lamata, there's Ashpa Lamata Lamaila. everything we do has meaning much, much, much beyond the world that we live in. Yovan had no objection to Rabbein Shlomo, who's up there in Shemayim. If we talk about the first paragraph of Hallel, Rom al kol goyim Hashem, that all the goyim agree, there's a Rabbein Shlomo, he's Rom. Not all the goyim, but I would say even every civilized goy who's got a little bit of Satan knows there's a Rabbein Shlomo. So how come he doesn't live with the Shvina? Because Rom al kol goyim Hashem, al Shemayim kevoidoi. He's somewhere up in Shemayim. Our chiddush is that we've got the revelation. We understand it much greater, much higher than they do. But we recognize that he comes down and he looks down at this world, takes an interest and a connection to, with Olam Hazeh. So if we look at the chiddush of Klal Yisrael, it's not that there is a Rabbein Shalom. The chiddush is not that there is a Torah. The chiddush is that there's a connection between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbein Shlom. There's a connection between Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. The minus, the kfira, the apikorsas that entered the world when Yovan took control, led Chazal to introduce a new word, mishkilkul aminim. They were masakin that you shouldn't just say min ha'olam, you have to say min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. This world is not an olam on its own. It's a world that goes from this world to the next world. Everything we do, every word of Torah, every extra shtabas, every time we strain our minds to understand the Tosfos better, every extra word of davening, every extra bit of kavana in davening, every chesed, every maisa mitzvah is mashpia. It changes the whole bria, but not just the olam hazeh, the ruchnis of the bria, the kesher, the revolution of the bria. That's the power that we have. We recognize this world is so connected to olam habo and to the revolution. Shem. Yovan doesn't believe in nevuah. There's no prophecy. They don't believe in the sugya of avodah, of us doing things that connect to lamailah, and therefore they, or adin, they don't believe in nes. One of the things that the Yevonim couldn't deal with was the concept of a nes, of a miracle. Because a miracle means that this world is not disconnected. It's not just a Rabbein Shalom out there in heaven. When he wants something to happen, he puts his hand down and turns things over. He mixes in, he intervenes. This is not a world that's disconnected. There's nevuah, there's avodah, there's nes. And that's why the Yevonim have no objection to a Kodesh Kodashim. A Kodesh Kodashim that has a Rabbein Shalom who's Yud Kei Vav Kei Rom Al Kogoyim Hashem Al Hashamayim Kavoyim, so be it. You've got Torah Shebichsav and Aluchas written by the Rabbein Shalom. If you wish, that's fine. They can deal with that. What they can't live with is the Heichel. The Heichel means that we're taking Kedusha and we're bringing it into this world. The Menorah, that Kedusha Satira, is Meir Noelam Hazeh. The Shemen, the physical mind, can connect to Ruchnis. No, that can't be. Timu kol hashmanim sheba Heichel. You know what? They don't destroy it. Of course there's Shemen. You want to have religion? Have religion. As long as you understand it in the terms of Olam Hazeh. It's good because the Torah will teach you how to live a good life and how to be nice people, all that, that's fine, as long as it's to build society and to create a civilization. Olam Hazeh, they can deal with it. Because the Shemen is not connected, it's Tommy. Yeah, like your menorah. They were the ones who translated the Torah. People wonder, Yovan is so anti-Torah. That the first nation had the respect to take an interest. They were the ones who had Torah translated into Greek. And in 2 weeks' time today, we'll be fasting because of that. Because when they translate the Torah into Greek, you're the choshech le'olam. It's the greatest darkness possible. You translate Torah into their language. It means you're hearing Torah in the context of Olam Hazeh on its own. It's almost like taking somebody to a massive radio station. It's a special place. It's got to be guarded, and you finally get there, and you get through all the protection, and they let you in, and you tell them, look, I want you to look around this building. See if you can work out what it is. So he looks around and he has a look and he's interested and he's clearing and he's... And he comes and he says, I think this is a place where they study computers. There's a lot of computing and there's a lot of interesting recording equipment. They must be studying recording equipment and computers. Interesting. What do you tell him? You missed the point, Rabbi. That's not what it's about. It's not about understanding the computers. The whole point of a radio station is that here we get communication from all over. All the reporters send in their stuff. And from here we communicate to the rest of the world. You don't understand this world. Yovan thinks they can understand this world on its own, but really they can't understand this world without understanding it in context of Olam Habo, of a connection telemailo. It's like today you get wireless keyboards. So you can have a keyboard and a mouse and a joystick, and you take someone who's never seen these things before. Yeah, you bring your Alta Zega, or your Zega for that matter, and you show him this, and he's like, possibly your father's, right? And you show him these things, you say, what is this? But you don't show him the computer. The most intelligent person for 100 years will never work out what it is. How can you know what this thing is? It doesn't mean anything if you try to understand it on its own. It's all attempted to connect to something else, to something greater, to something beyond. Olam hazeh without olam haba is that the Yovani understanding doesn't make any sense. Our avodah is to recognize olam hazeh as shayach, that when Shem talks to us through the Torah, we talk to him through tefillah, and he takes a personal interest in our lives and runs everything in the olam habayis. We always wonder what the shaykhus is between Pashas Miketz and Chanukah. There's a lot of Ramazim, Tevach V'Ochel, Miketz Shmasayim, many in Yonim that many Ramazim. It just struck me that there might be something simpler. One of the basic messages that runs through the Pasha of Miketz is the fact that the Ribbon Shlelem runs our lives and is interested and involved in what things and the way things happen. The message of Miketz, to a large extent, is you can't make a difference. Your ishtablis doesn't affect things. To din ishtablis, we've got to do what's necessary to be mekayim the halacha of ishtablis and din ishtablis. But be'emes, it's the Rebbeinu Shlelem makes a difference. The whole mikayim shlosayim yomim. What's these 2 years? It happened at the end of 2 years. We'll say 2 years later. What's mikayim shlosayim yomim? And Chazal say that the Shnosayim Yomim was the extra 2 years that Yosef was punished for having asked the Sarah Mashkin to take him out. It was a prison sentence. It happened at the end of the prison sentence, then a parichodim. Yosef was punished. Too much ishtadlus. Don't get so involved. Let the Ribbono Shlelem run the show. But more than that, says the Beis Halevi and Nira de Gezach. We imagine, he says, we imagine that why do things happen? What? Because everything has its course. So what would you have said? Why was Yosef taken out of prison? Because Pari had a dream. Pari had a dream and he needed an interpreter, and therefore Yosef was taken out of prison. It's not the Beis Halevi famously that's not pshat. The reason why Pari had the dream was that Yosef should get out of prison. By him he came to Shemosayim Yomim. It's the end of Yosef's prison sentence, and we need to get him out. The Rebbeinu needs some way al piteva to take Yosef out of prison. Uparei choyle. This Beis Halevi is awesome. It means completely changing our whole understanding of the Bria. What we see as cause is really effect. The reason why I was late was not because there was a traffic jam. There was a traffic jam so that I would be late. Must be another cheshbonus also, because the traffic jam involves other people. But that it's the cause and effect of the Beis Halevi. The reason why things go wrong, the reason why my mortgage was refused, was not because there was some golem in the office who couldn't process it fast enough or had some problem with it. Because my mortgage was meant to be refused, therefore the wrong person got hold of it. That was all the revenge being the Sabbath things, the cause and the effect. Punkt verkehrt. And when I'm up with the baby at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not Nebuch, I've got to be up because this baby had an earache. But the poor baby Nebuch had to have an earache, but I should be up. It's a complete, everything's back to front. Recognizes that nothing, even the small things that happen, are all because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam destined to happen, I say. The whole sugya of Yosef, the whole parasha of Miketz, the whole Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, is not because Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, therefore Klal Yisrael went into Golus. If Yosef was in Mitzrayim in order that Paris prepared, if we live with this, if we live with the musig of Nes and Teva, bring it from a concept in Kodesh Kodoshim into the Heichel, into our lives, you end up with a hasoga that the tefillah suddenly becomes central to life. If we realize it's the Ribbono Shel Olam is making things happen, not us, and that the only thing that can change it is, will we be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough to get the Ashbar? And then instead of chasing ishtadlus, we naturally want to daven a little bit harder. Then nisoyen, we have a nisoyen sometimes, we want to leave davening early, we want to rush davening, we want to come late because we're so busy. That's only because we live in the world of cause and effect being, olam hazeh causing the natural causes make things happen. If we realize that Faket, Rabbeinu Shlom, is running it, all that, whether I'm on time, whether I'm late, we think normal Kiddush Tadlus is Tali on the Rabbeinu Shlom, not Tali on us. Living with Bitochen, living with Tefillah, is a natural expression of that Sugi of Chanukah, hearing the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a whole Zahirus in the Diktuk HaMitzvahs, which sometimes becomes difficult enough, given if we do it, punkt as if we do keep it exactly right, if the Shabbos is exactly perfect. This is connected to Lamayla. If we're beyond Yavon, if we live in the sugi of Hegel, if we know that Menorah is Meir in Olam Hazeh, that when we're learning Torah, we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're doing mitzvahs as Tenoiz HaLekim, we're connecting up. It's a whole different hasoga of what the Torah expects us to do. It expects us to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to listen to His Gilui, and to express it in our lives. I'd just like to finish with one more vort, a Torah vort of Shimshon Farhish, that I think ties in very nicely to this sugya of Chanukah. In Al HaNisim, there's two famous kashas. We say the Klal Yisrael came, and they overcame the Greeks. There was this wonderful mitzochel. V'achach came, bo'u b'necho l'dvi b'isecho, u'fini m'isecho mecho. What's the achach came? If the words weren't there, we wouldn't have noticed them, wouldn't have missed them. He could have just said that there was a big one with one. What's the achar kain bo'nechalit v'beisach? The second kasha factor of Hirsch is why is it when it talks about that locus menorah, it says v'vriku neiros bechatzreis kochechem, the menorah was lit in the courtyard of your kodesh, of your beis hamikdash. First of all, that's not where the menorah was. The whole point is, where's the menorah in the Eichel? She has some truths in there. What was it? They didn't conquer the Eichel yet. It was Tommy. But Poshet, L'chayra, that's not where you light the menorah. The menorah should be the Eichel. And even if it isn't in the Eichel, if for some reason you decide the menorah is in the courtyard, how many courtyards do you need for a menorah? One. So what's Chatzreis Kotshech? Now, it's a little unreadable word. The side of Chanukah is to bring the Giluyim of Torah, the Ruchnis, from Olam Abba into Olam Hazeh. It's not something that's just mufshit, it's not just thought, it's to be brought into real life. There's nowhere that a person does that more than in the home. And one of the places that the Greeks tried to overcome was the bias. It's not for nothing they took the doors off the Yiddish homes. What they wanted was, yes, maybe in the Beis Medrash, if you have to have it, keep it in the Beis Medrash. Keep it in the shuls. But don't bring that Torah home. Bringing Torah from shul home, from the Beis Medrash, into where we live, is the same avodah as bringing it from Kodesh Kodoshim into the Heichel, into the Olam HaMaisa. When they tried to be metama our homes, what they tried was to infiltrate the Jewish home. So, Kruhirsh, when the Chashmonaim won, and they were about to go into the Beis HaMikdosh, they said to themselves, what's the point? We're going to go and reconsecrate the Beis HaMikdosh. For what? Is that where Yavon really is fighting? The fight was at home. The fight was that the Yiddish homes became infiltrated with the influences of the Goyish world. There was stuff there that shouldn't be in a Yiddish home. There was a tumor in the bottom of Klal Yisrael. And we're going to go be in the Kaddish of Beis HaMikdosh. We've not won the battle. And so they went round and they visited Yiddish homes and they felt the pulse of Klal Yisrael to see, have they purified their homes or not? And when they saw that the Yiddish homes were purified, they said, okay, now's the time to go and be mechanach the Beis HaMikdash. If the homes are okay, the Beis HaMikdash is worth being mechanach. The Acha came after that survey, only then did they go into the Beis HaMikdash. So Tevaitim Mimela, when we say the Liku Neiris Pachashus Kashach, it's a Chiddush. He says it's not talking about the Neiris in the Beis HaMikdash. It's talking about the Neiris Chanukah and the Chatzris Kachecho of the Yiddish homes that are built around the Beis HaMikdash. The homes of Klal Yisrael are Chatzris Kachecho, Yiddish courtyard with Yiddish batim. That's where the Kedusha is. Once a year, a Yid turns his home into a Beis HaMikdash. The menorah steht in the Rishonim and a lot in the Chassidus Svarim. The menorah represents the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. So how you madlik it at home? Because on Chanukah, the Yiddish home becomes a hechel to the Shekhinah. A place that is pure from outside influence. A place that is Torah v'Kodesh. A place to serve the Rebbein Shem. We bring Torah home. We bring Avodah home. Which takah b'zeicha over this Yontov of Chanukah, to Mesura, to Mestabik, to the Kedusha of the Neiris, so that our batin should be places that are Kodesh v'Torah v'Dliku Neiris v'Chatzis Kishach.